Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church? With the one and only Sister AJ. Well, we're so glad to be back on this beautiful sunny day, at least in my neck of the woods. It's beautiful and sunny. If you're looking an update on the rat, well, I've been evicted from the attic. The rat has taken over. We had to move everything out of the attic because he's so mad that there's no food up there, then now he's tearing up everything. So he's having a fit, and we had to move everything out. It took me about 2 days to get everything out of the attic, and because I was taking kind of my time, I did it in 2 days instead of 1 day. On that 1 day that he had extra to tear things up, he tore things up. So I've been given the boot out of the attic, which I pay rent for, and but today, me and Elmer Fudd Jr., we're going to be stalking him out, and we're going to be laying some traps. So there's not one Elmer Fudd now; there's two going rat hunting. So I'll give you an update in the weeks to come. Well, without any further ado, we're going to bring on Sister AJ as we're going to be talking about thieves in the pulpit. And we tried to do this show last week, but for whatever reason. Block Talk Radio was not cooperating, and I just couldn't click on Sister AJ. The show was fine on my end. You could hear me, and I could play the audio on my end, but I just couldn't bring Sister AJ on. So let's keep our fingers crossed as I try to do it now. Sister AJ, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, brother?
I'm hanging in there, hanging in there. And I went over to the thrift store on the weekend to see if I can find Elmer Fudd hats. I didn't find any. But whatever it is so mad that he's tearing into everything now, whether it has food or not. He's just making a mess.
He's on a tear.
He's on a tear. We had a mattress up there, and he just tore up the whole mattress.
Mm.
He just.
You sure that's a mouse?
It's listen. I don't know if it's a squirrel. I don't know if it's a mouse. I don't know. I don't know what it is. All I know is it's demonic.
Mm.
And it is. It's. We call him Taz for short, for Tasmanian Devil, because we can't see him or what. You know, my son put his lunches up there, you know, because it's on the cold side of the house. So my son's room is next to the attic, and my son said, "Well, I'm gonna put my lunches here for work," and when he went the next day to get his lunches. They were all devoured.
Mm.
He had three. He goes to work Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and the lunches he had for the 3 days, which were Lunchables, you know, they're those mini lunches called Lunchables. That thing had his own Lunchables.
My goodness.
And he bites into every. If you got juices, you know, bottled juices or whatever. He bites right into it, and, I mean, the juices are leaking. That's how I found out there was a critter, because something was leaking, and the whole floor, and I said, what's that? And when I moved the boxes, he was tearing into the juices. So,
My goodness.
Yeah, that's what happens when you don't pay your tithes, because the Lord does not rebuke the devourer. That's it. So... I'm learning that I better tithe or else.
Oh, my goodness. Well, happy hunting.
Happy hunting is right. So we're gonna, and let's see what happens.
Trap for a super rat.
That's it. Let's see what happens. So the show you have for us today has to do with Michael Todd, this obnoxious, hard to hear, silly preacher, but who's got a mega church. How many people does he have in his church?
I'm not sure the numbers, but it's pretty good size considering the building they moved into.
And not only considering the building, but he's giving like $1 million away.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, who does
that?
Well,
I think it spread out over time. He didn't just give it to one person or anything. I think I saw one video where he gave somebody a minivan, a family in his church. So that might not be just cash. It could be other tangible goods.
Right. And, you know, Paula White used to do stuff like that just to fill her building. On Thursday nights, which is Paula White's Bible study night, they used to put numbers underneath the chairs. And then they would pull out a number at the end of the Bible teaching. And if they called your number, you won an iPad. So,
right.
You know, that's how she would fill up the church, because I might win it tonight.
Yeah, but
right?
you probably already gave enough money to Paula White to buy yourself an iPad.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what people don't figure out. the family who's giving this guy all this money, they could have bought their own minivan.
Yep.
Right?
Or at least
but they didn't realize that.
Payment down on one.
Sure. Absolutely. So, this guy's obnoxious. And he, I look back, how old is he? Like 20 something?
He's late 20s at least.
I would like
maybe
to
maybe early
I
30s at the most.
I would like to have a time machine and see if I can go back to what my age is comparable to his to see if I was that stupid. I doubt it, brother.
Well, listen.
I just want to go back in time and see. Because I used to be skinny like him. I'm not skinny no more. But I like to just go back and see what the deal was. I mean, was I that? Because Paul says when you're a child, you act like a child. But when you become a man, you put away childish things.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see, was I that frivolous? Was I that boastful? So arrogant? So full of myself? So now I could tell you I didn't have life size posters of me. And when I preached,
no,
right. But this guy. Boy, he is. Now, of course, we have to do the research.
Something here saying he's 33 years old.
Okay. Well, yeah, he doesn't look 33 to me. He looks like he's 20. Like a kid who's 20, who the only experience they have as far as moving out is that they live in their mother's basement. That's it.
It's saying he's 33 on this page I looked at. Looks about right, I guess. He may just look a little bit younger, but he probably acts 12. So,
absolutely. That's the point. The point is that as a man of God, he's thoroughly immature. Thoroughly. And narcissistic. This is a narcissistic society. Because, when you listen to T.D. Jakes speaking to his daughter, he's just feeding her teaspoons of narcissism by telling her, he must decrease so that she can increase. That was just narcissism on steroids.
That was blasphemy on steroids too.
Absolutely.
Putting her in the place of Jesus.
Yeah, so it's just a bad generation. Of course it's not the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are apostate churches because no one can tell me that pastor who founded that church, who was a good friend of Bishop Carlton Pearson, that guy was ever right.
Right.
Therefore,
exactly.
That church is an apostate church.
It's funny how you can see Carlton Pearson's fingerprints on a lot of these things, even some of these younger pastors, because Carlton put on T.D. Jakes, Juanita Bynum, Joyce Meyer, Bernard Jordan, Miles Monroe are just the ones I could name off the top of my head that were on his platform. And then these younger guys, the Stephen Furtick's of the world, Michael Todd's, whether they realize it or not, they're influenced by Carlton.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. The other day I was watching a clip from Larry Reed, and I was at the doctor's appointment, so they have internet there, so I have my headphones on while I'm waiting for the doctor, and I'm watching Larry Reed, and then Bishop Jordan says, we are a gender-inclusive church when he's speaking about his church. So basically what he said is...
So what does that mean?
So basically, yeah, what he said is we accept the gays. That's
and
what
the,
that's,
and the other confused individuals that may come
right
through the door, because gender inclusive, that should just be men or women, right?
Right.
If you're looking
right
biblically.
Absolutely. But these are apostates.
Right.
And you know, because remember that bishop that stuck up, that got stuck up in Brooklyn? So
yeah, they're connected.
Right. So he's mad at Larry Reed because Larry Reed was laughing at the whole stick up. And then he's mad at Bernard Jordan. So that bishop now was saying that Larry Reed is gay, that he has AIDS, and that Larry Reed and Bernard Jordan are boyfriend and girlfriend based on a video.
Yeah.
Based on a video that that Larry Reed posted just when he walked into Bernard Jordan's bedroom and said, happy birthday. So Larry
right
Reed had Bernard Jordan on to talk about this bishop that was stuck up. And so Bernard Jordan said to his wife, come here, honey. And she came on. And he says, Prophetess Deborah, could you tell them where you were in that video when Larry Reed came into our bedroom and was touching my head and when I was asleep? And he said, well, I was the one who invited him to the house and opened the door and told him to go right into the bedroom that you were asleep and to go wake you up. Are you not gay? You my husband. So, you know, this is the foolishness now that you have in the church.
Yes.
But Bernard Jordan said anyway, hey, we're cool. You know, we love the gays. They can come here. And so now the three guys or the four guys that he was with in the beginning, Ellis, right? Ellis, the guy who started the joint college. Bishop Roy Brown, Roy Brown had a lesbian daughter that he had disinherited. And I know that for a fact because I sat across the table from Bishop Roy Brown. And he says, I want you to know I have a lesbian daughter. I disinherited her. There ain't going to be no gay stuff here. So, you know, that was one of the church fathers in Brooklyn. I'm from Brooklyn. So I know Roy Brown would not have that, and Bernard Jordan calls Roy Brown his mentor.
Yeah.
Right? But then he turns around and calls Reverend Ike his mentor. I don't know how these people can have all these different mentors.
It depends on what they're doing, I guess.
Right? And then the bottom line is Jesus ain't their mentor. Everybody else is except Jesus.
No, that's right. That's right.
That's why they're confused. So Wilbur McKinley, he wouldn't have no gays in his church. I mean, I heard, how many sermons did I hear him preach about no gays in the church? I know I know for a fact Roy Brown and Wilbur Sterling McKinley was against that. Now, I don't know any – I've never met Paul Morton, so I can't speak for him. And I heard through the grapevine that he himself is sweet. So I don't know if that's true, but that's the rumor out there in the streets. You know, he's as sweet as Eddie Long used to be. How true is that? I have no clue. So, you know, that's the rumor mill, right?
Right.
So now Jordan, I'm all for the gays. Okay. Well, I knew that. It was just a matter of time before you said it, because
right,
you know, you couldn't have said it 10 years ago, 15 years ago when those church fathers were alive, because they would have disowned you.
But now
they would have disowned
to
you.
What he wants or say what he
now
wants.
They're all dead. Well, they're all dead now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Roy Brown is the one who made him an archbishop. So now they're all accepting the gays. They listen, it's a polluted church now. That's why I left so many years ago. I could see this thing coming. I saw it coming.
Right.
As soon as I saw the purple and the scarlet, I said, they're going to be filled with homosexuals and pedophiles. I said, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I want nothing to do with y'all guys. Bye. See you later. The moment you put on those outfits, that's what's coming, because the colors go with the lifestyle. That's it.
That's right.
So you look at the church now, look at Joel Osteen. Ah, we have some in our church. They're okay there. Yeah.
Yeah, they're
okay in
the apostate church, of course.
Right. That's why you had the Lady Gaga thing, and that's why you had the little Nas thing. That's no. You didn't have to tell me that they were okay there. You didn't have to tell me that. So, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame, but
yeah.
You know, at least now you know who's who, because they're not hiding it anymore, Sister AJ. They're not.
No, they're not.
We come to the point now. We come to the point that now they're all universalist.
Mm-hmm.
Now they all believe that everybody's going to heaven, that you can go to Jesus your own way.
That's right.
So, like Moses said, those who are on the Lord's side, come over to me. There's two sides. The prophet Elijah
that's
said,
right.
How long will you be among two opinions? Right? And that's where we are today, two opinions, light, darkness. That's it. That's
mm-hmm.
where we're at.
Exactly.
And another thing that contributes to that lifestyle is the prosperity gospel. Because you have to trace the prosperity gospel all the way back to the Old Testament, and you had Baal and Astarte, or Ashtaroth. In the plural,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, if you wanted to, if the prosperity gospel
was in
those.
You have to give an offering to have prosperity, to get your crops to grow, or to have
right.
your children or whatever. They were like fertility rites, wasn't it?
That's right. In order for you, and this is why they had these mountaintops called high places, where the grass and everything had been mowed down. And then you had to go to a high place and engage in sexual immorality. And so, and I don't mean to get fresh or gross, but you have to, the
mm-hmm.
man had to sow his seed inside of the woman in
right.
the sexual act to kind of, it was like porn for Baal and Astarte. And if they got excited watching you do porn, then they would bless your crops and they would bless your animals. And that
right.
and that was very popular. That, you know, you had no all those Baal churches were mega churches because people were into that.
Yeah.
So you know, it anytime you deviate from the true gospel and you have one of these fake gospels, you're into all kinds of different lifestyles.
Anything is possible. You're
right.
That's right. All type of perversion comes in next when you pervert the word of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it is what it is, but Michael Todd is the new, I guess, streaking star in the sky, shooting
mm-hmm.
star. And I think when you did your series on Earth, Wind, and Fire. Don't they have a song about that, a shooting star or something? They got something.
The shining star, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're the shining star. Mm-hmm. I used to be the shining star here. Now Benji is. Benji gets all the love. Benji gets all the attention. I get nothing. I've been dethroned.
But yeah.
Yeah. So.
But I hate. But bro, I would need to deviate just a little bit from
mm-hmm.
Michael Todd's sermon because
okay.
another of our apostates that has that's been trending is our buddy Kirk Franklin, and he's been trending the last week because some blasphemous thing that he said on the BET Hip Hop Awards show that was just last week. He did a rap that everybody is up in arms about, a lyric that's in that rap, and rightfully so. And it's like every time I see Kirk Franklin videos start popping up with people talking about something he's done, I'm like, man, what has that boy done this time? He's like one of those children where you're like, okay, what's he done now?
Exactly.
So he's a round of blasphemy, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. And I sent the video. It's labeled with today's date, and I wrote special clip by it in the title.
I have it right in front of me, yeah.
And this is the rap that he did for that show, and I want to get your take on it. And I'm also going to read Kirk's response to all the backlash he was getting from the church. So when you're ready to play the video, we can listen.
All right, here it is.
Yo, Kirk Franklin, give me 16. Just got back from my sabbatical. I'm one of God's kids. Never thought I'd make it this far, but God did. Whom shall I fear? Since the Most High brought me, since I've been 100, 50 tried to rob me. He can't, cause God's got me. See, I'm God's property. Jesus is prodigy. Dope as ever, probably. Always dead character. Church can make some characters. They categorically deny God's character. I don't mean to preach, just trying to make you think. I was a dirty dish. Now me and God in sync. Like Big and Jay and Nas, the great escape of both. The lion and the lamb will bow down to the goat. I don't want to make no more mistakes with my kid. You heard the mixtape my son put out, Kirk did. So if this cipher don't take away from my sins, which could probably take away from my ends, tell my wife and my friends, can we win that end? I'm a fighter, shout out to the Holy Spirit, I'm the ghostwriter. Watch the 2022 Hip Hop Awards on BET, where hip hop flows.
So was he the ghostwriter now?
No, he say the Holy Spirit is. But the Holy Spirit would not have given him any of these lyrics. And the main one that people are talking about is the one in the second verse, I think, where he says, the lion and the lamb will bow down to the goat.
Right.
And people are like, Wait a minute, what is he talking about here?
Yeah, the goat is Satan. That's, you know.
And the lion and the lamb. And let me read his response to this. He hasn't put out a video, but he did tweet about the controversy. So let me get your thoughts on this. Kirk replies, in hip-hop, who is the greatest? The goat, which is G-O-A-T, has always been a discussion. Metaphorically, I position those considered great as lions and lambs, and how they will someday bow down to Jesus, who is the greatest of all times. It's hyperbole, not theology.
Well, the problem with that is this. For those of you who I sent copies to of my trilogy, The Spirit of Python, in the second volume, I write a whole series on how these guys speak with forked tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read that chapter, there's even an image there of a goat with the two horns. And it's basically it's the image of Satan. Whether you use the serpent or the goat, and don't try to make it sound like you're talking about the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Whenever, see, here's the thing. whenever you talk about the lion and the lamb, you're taking that right out of Scripture.
Exactly. And Kirk's been around long enough where he knows that. But there are people who say they're Christians that are trying to give him a pass. Maybe he just made a mistake, or it's a poorly written line or whatever, but it's no big deal.
Mm-mm, no, no. See, because the GOAT, or the greatest of all times, you have to use that in a secular context. See, context determines how you use words. So when you start out with the lion and the lamb, and then you mention the goat, now you're in a biblical context. You're not secular. You're not in an NBA context. You're not in a Major League Baseball. No, no. It's strictly Bible. So that's not going to fly. And he's speaking in code. He's worshiping Satan, and if you look at his movements in that video, they're satanic.
Serpentine. Serpentine.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? And then he's inside of a box. He's on an elevated little platform, and then they've got a plexiglass-looking frame around it, and then they've got lights on that are all in red, so there's like this red glow all around him.
Listen. If you ever, and again, I don't.
These symbols mean something too with these award shows.
Yeah, if you ever watch, and again, some Christians who are into spiritual warfare label everything demonic, right? This is demonic. That's demonic. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't go to that extreme, but if you ever watch the movies on Annabelle the doll. Right,
I saw the first one. Yes.
Okay.
And, yeah.
They take all kinds of satanic objects and they put them behind glass boxes, just like the one he was in.
Mm-hmm.
See. The other thing is this. Whenever you put a snake in a box or a snake in a basket. And the snake charmer starts to play his flute, and the snake is wiggling like he was doing. See, there's all kind of connotations there. He's a tool of the puppet master. He's in the box,
that's right.
And Satan will take him out and use him as he. It's like the ventriloquist, you know. The ventriloquist goes into his suitcase. He grabs the dummy out of the box. Then he makes him talk. It's the same thing. He's a tool of Satan, and of course he's masquerading and making all. But you know, the church is so stupid today that this will blow over, and they'll be giving him Dove Awards next. You know.
Yeah. Well, he's been getting the awards still. But what I would say, as far as this goat thing, for one thing, the Scripture never refers to Jesus as the goat. Or a goat, and when Jesus himself used the term, he used it to describe the unrighteous that he is going to separate from among the sheep. And then the biggest thing, when, like you mentioned, with the greatest of all time thing that's often used in secular society, especially sports and entertainment, you can't say that Jesus is the greatest of all time. And here is my reason behind why I say that. When you're talking about the GOAT in conversations, you're making comparisons. You take Michael Jordan or Magic or whoever to say that they are the greatest of everyone that's ever played their sport. You have to compare statistics, whatever.
Right.
But with Jesus, he is incomparable, uncomparable.
That's right.
There's none other like him. Even at when he was here on earth, he was the only begotten Son of God. There was no other man like him. And then,
not even close.
To put the cherry on top of the sundae, God to the prophet Isaiah, I saw in Isaiah 45:5 where the Lord said, I am the Lord, there is no other. There is no God besides me. So you can't compare God to Zeus or Hermes or any Osiris or any of these other gods. There is no God beside him. So you can't compare and say Jesus or is the GOAT because there's no one else to compare him to.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I just can't believe that Kirk Franklin is that ignorant. He's been doing this a long time. I believe it was intentionally blasphemous. He knew what he was doing. And he doesn't, and by looking at this response, he doesn't care what any of us think. This man is gone. He's gone. Pray for him if you want to, but quit trying to give him a pass for the stuff that he does.
Right.
He told you what his mission was in 1997 when he put out that song Stomp. And the first thing he says in it is, for those of you that think gospel music has gone too far, you ain't seen nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know.
Yep. He's another defiant one. He's defiant.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, he doesn't want to follow the pattern or the tradition of the great gospel singers that kept it Jesus only.
Right.
No, he wants to venture out and mesh the world, and he's just part of Mystery Babylon.
He's merging the sacred and the profane.
That's it. It says Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots.
Mm-hmm.
He's a prostitute. That's what he is.
Yeah.
And of course, listen, this guy's gonna make his money. He's gonna be popular. He's gonna be accepted because Satan pays well on this end to influencers.
That's right.
Right? Because he is pulling his way how many thousands of people that will follow him. Larry Reed, I'm an influencer in the church. Yeah, and Satan's going to pay you well. Larry Reed says, I'm already a millionaire several times over.
Mm-hmm.
You got all kinds of deals. Of course you're going to have all kinds. The devil gave them to you because you're leading tens of thousands of people astray.
That's right, man. Yep.
But all of that is going to be short-lived. All of it.
Mm-hmm. It profits him nothing when he has to face the Lord in judgment.
Right.
That when he has to face the wrath of that lamb that he's talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no, listen, they're all wicked. They're all no good. And this is why the call goes out each and every day. Come out from among them, saith the Lord, that you receive not the plagues that I'm about to send upon her. So
that's right.
Yeah. But it's a short video, if you don't mind, if I can play it again.
Oh, no, yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yo, Kirk Franklin, give me 16. Hear me?
Just got back from my sabbatical. I'm one of God's kids. Never thought I'd make it this far, but God did. Whom shall I fear? Since the Most High brought me, since I've been 150, tried to rob me. He can't, cause God's got me. See, I'm God's property. Jesus is prodigy. Dope as ever, probably. Always dead character. Church can make some characters. They categorically deny God's character. I don't mean to preach, just trying to make you think. I was a dirty dish. Now me and God is sink. Like Biggie J and Nas, the greatest.
Think about, if you go back when you get a chance, I know you don't have it in front of you, but if you look at what Franklin is singing to, he's singing into a mic, but it's an asterisk pole.
The one with
flowers,
the roses wrapped all around it.
Exactly, and that represented the god asterisk.
Mm.
And he's got a pole right there.
Right.
It's easy to see the symbolism.
Yeah, and these award shows have been pretty much out in the open with it for years.
Right. Now, let me see this shirt he's got on, because he's got like a bear claw on his shirt.
I think it's Louis Vuitton. That's what that LV, I think, is a, but I can't see what else is on there.
Okay.
The lion and the lamb were bow down to the goat. I don't want to make no more mistakes. I attend the lamb, we're bow down to the goat. I attend the lamb, we're bow down to the goat. I attend the lamb, we're bow down to the goat. I attend the lamb, we're bow down to the goat. I don't wanna make no more mistakes with my kids. You heard the mixtape my son put out, Kirk did. So if this cipher don't take away from my sins, which could probably take away from my ends, tell my wife and my friends, can we win that end? I'm a fighter, shout out to the Holy Spirit, the Ghost Rider.
Wow, the Holy Spirit, the Ghost Rider. Whoa, yeah. The Ghost Rider, if you know anything about Marvel Comics, he's a demon from hell that rides on a motorcycle.
He said writer, like writing something, that God, that the Holy Spirit is the Ghost Rider for his songs and for this thing here.
Well, that's even worse.
Absolutely. The Holy Spirit would probably tell him not to be there, let alone say this stuff.
Absolutely. Because anytime you have a ghostwriter, think, you know, when you have a ghostwriter and you put your name on something, you just lied. Because it wasn't you who wrote it. Let's think about that for a moment. You know, Billy Graham's been dead. I don't know, how many years has Billy Graham been dead?
Well, I don't know, but it's been a while.
It's been a while. And I keep going to that place, Ollie's, you know, that discount place, because, you know, I got to live on discounts. And every time I go there, there's a new Billy Graham book. Billy Graham, wait, he didn't write that. They just put his name on it. A ghostwriter, there's deception in ghostwriting.
Well, he's talking about, I'm almost thinking he's talking like some artists say that is when they write the song or they come up with these songs, it's almost like automatic writing. It's just flowing through them through some kind of spirit that they've made contact with. And it's like that's what he's talking about, but the Holy Spirit can inspire people who are musically gifted to write songs and compose music. I have no doubt about that, but the Holy Spirit would not give Kirk Franklin this.
Right. For example, the guy who translated the Bible for the Jehovah's Witness was an occultist, and he said it was dictated to him by a demon.
That's right.
So, how many Satanists, how many people are out there who get involved with the cult and they're doing spirit writing? The spirit is speaking to them and they're writing stuff down. So, whether you take it in the literal sense of a ghostwriter, you have an author who writes a book, but because they're unknown and their name doesn't carry any weight. Billy Graham's association will pay $20,000 for the manuscript, and then they'll put Billy's name on it, and it'll make $100,000. So the profit is $80,000, right? But the ghostwriter got paid up front. It's really his or her work, and they have to sign a non-disclosure agreement that they're, you know, John Hagee. You know, when you look at all these people like Hagee and David Durham, and how could they put out all – they got these mega churches and they're involved in all these – and then they're putting out these – they're cranking out these books. They have ghostwriters.
Absolutely, yep.
And they're dishonest when they do that. They're dishonest.
Right. Well, that's what you said about that forked tongue. He's talking in code, and I think he's meaning spiritually ghostwriter.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I got
a better picture of that shirt you're looking at, and it, my mistake, is made to look like Louis Vuitton, but I'm looking at this, and there's the big L, and then it's got the peace symbol, somebody's hands making that peace symbol, like you would hold up number two fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then at the bottom of that, it says peace and love.
Yeah, well,
so that's
an Egyptian,
what that is on his shirt.
Yeah, that's the Egyptian sign for eternal life, that peace sign that they used to wear in the 60s. That's
right.
That's Egyptian.
This the hand signal, the two fingers.
Mm-hmm. Right. And again, that goes back to the goat.
There you go.
All of that. It's wickedness. Wickedness. So, all righty, Kurt. You know, we knew who Kurt was, and his kid hasn't told half the story.
No, he's put some hints out, but we ain't heard from him lately. But yeah, we don't know the half.
That's right. Because these people, it's all about image. That's all it's about, image. Mm-hmm. And protecting their brand so that the money keep coming in. That's all they care about. They don't care about anybody or anything else other than that.
And not even God.
No. That's why when these pastors like Eddie Long have these boyfriends and the wife stays quiet all those years, they haven't slept together. Why? Because she's got the big car, she's got the life, she's got the money, she's got the credit cards, she's got the country club membership.
She's got the lifestyle.
That's it. And they just shut up. They say nothing. They keep up the front, the lies. They punch in on Sunday morning. Say hello to First Lady. First Lady, can you wave to the saints? And she waves, and they're all, the First Lady waved at us. You know, and it's all a ruse. That's what it's all. It's all a sham and a scam. So
that's right. So
yeah,
that's the latest on Kirk Franklin. You know, and for the record, according to scripture that I look at, Jesus is not the goat, not even the greatest of all time.
Mm-mm. No, he's God. He's God.
That's right.
That's it. So it's silly, you know. It's just plain silly. But, and look, he knew. Look, think about this. I also have to believe that these guys like to sprinkle in controversy so that their music can be played again and again and again.
That too, yeah.
Right? Because that's how they make the money. That's how they make the money. Mm-hmm. If you're not relevant, people forget about you. If you're not in the news, people forget about you. And these guys don't like being forgotten. They hate it because they're narcissistic.
That's right.
You know, so. All righty, we got the Michael Todd video ready, set up, so you let me know when you want to start.
Okay, well, the last time we were able to complete a show, we left off at the 12-minute mark, so anywhere you want to put it around or maybe a little after that is up to you.
Okay.
Because I didn't write down where we stopped it at before, you know,
right,
when we had the technical difficulties.
Yeah, let's play it at the 20-minute mark. Let's start it there.
Okay.
And then let's
yeah, that's a good spot.
Yeah. All right, here it is. And I'll stop it as I think you might have something to say on it.
Okay.
You can't give somebody else a breath because God gave it to you. And when you understand that everything that you have, all good and perfect gifts come from the Lord. When you understand that, you realize that you're never an owner. You're just a manager. Everything I have, it ain't mine. It is under my management or under my stewardship. He is the owner. I am the manager. Say it with me. He is the owner. I am the manager. So.
Now, see, now, if you say to them, Mr. Manager, can I move in with you with your mansion? They're going to say no. In fact, they're going to say H-E-L-L no.
They sure
or say
will.
To them, or say to them, you're just the manager. Can I borrow your Bentley for 2-3 months? You know what you're going to hear. See,
well,
when Kenneth Copeland said, when he said, look at our new plane, and the people were jumping up and down. That ain't theirs.
And they never got to look inside of it.
That's not their plane.
No.
So this is a farce. What he's talking about is a farce. He's lying to the poor people there.
Right.
Right? I mean, think about it. He's just lying. Let's be honest. He's lying. That's what he's doing. We're all stewards. I mean, you're a steward of what you own. I'm a steward of what I own. But the way he's making it sound like, okay, it's not yours. No, my house is mine. Your house is yours. It's what God gave. You know, when my mother bought me a pair of sneakers, she didn't buy them for my brother. She bought them for me. There's some things that God, your Heavenly Father, gives to you. They're for you. And, of course, you have to be good with what he gives you, and you have to manage it and take care of it. But he gave that to you. See, he's not very clear here because the way it sounds is everything you have, you can give it away. But that's not what the Bible teaches.
Right. Especially if you look at it in the context of the things you said so far about money and what it's for and stuff, which he's going to get more into. It's like you get the money, but it's just supposed to be a conduit and for you to do other things, mainly give to his church.
Right. So that he could decide who he's going to give it to, but it always furthers him.
Right.
See, it doesn't further you or the congregation. It furthers really his agenda or it furthers his status among the people.
That's right.
See, because the bottom line is he was only able to give away that minivan because church people gave. But people are going to remember, oh, Pastor gave away that minivan. Remember when Pastor gave away?
Yeah.
That's what happens. So he's playing games with other people's hard-earned money. Playing
pretty
games.
Much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why, when he asks you for something, are you acting like he's doing something to you instead of for you? Give to who? When mama, you know I work every day for the man. And God said, hold on, I asked you just to manage this life. You know you got another life, right? And it's what you do in this life that will prepare you and see what you get in the next life because of how you stewarded right here.
See, he's so clueless about God. Take, for example, the early church. The early church owned no buildings.
Right.
They all met in homes. They all met in homes. So that whatever was collected, and it surely wasn't tithes, whatever was collected would benefit the people who had what? Needs. So
that's right.
They didn't, so the early church pastors didn't have to squeeze people every week because we got an overhead. No, there's no overhead. We're meeting in homes. And if there was a collection, it was a collection for the poor to take care of the needy. And for that, people gave willingly.
That's right.
So when he says, God wants you to give you, well, oh, no, Lord, I don't want to give it, Lord. Well, of course I don't want to give it. Why? Because I have a mortgage payment. Or I have a car note. And as I give the money to every whim that the pastor has, I'm going to lose my house, my car's going to get towed away.
That's right. And so, people do that. They give away bill money because they got manipulated by the pastor that Sunday.
Yeah. I saw, and I didn't click on it, but there's something out there on the internet about a 71-year-old church member who got scammed by her pastor. I saw it. I didn't have time to click on it. Yep. 71-year-old, and they had a picture.
Paul and Randy White did that to an old lady that went to their church.
Sure.
You know, she gave them like a few hundred grand to help mm-hmm. them buy a house, and they made all these promises to her. But once they got that money, they forgot all about that poor woman.
They forgot all about her. They were nowhere to be found. Prior to that, they had their cell phone. She had their cell phone numbers. As soon as they got that money, they got new cell phones and new cell phone numbers, and she's calling, they calling. And I don't know where they're at.
That's
it's
right.
It's a shame. It's a shame. So, no, you don't give – no, this guy – And here's the other thing, AJ. I have not heard from God. Can somebody tell the Lord that I would like to hear from him? Because the way he makes a sound is, you know, God's just telling you, okay, take 20 here and give it there, take 25. Can somebody please tell the Lord I'm waiting to hear from him?
No, I haven't heard that either.
Because the way he makes a sound is God's talking every 5 minutes. What I hear is
there are certain manipulating things. That's right. They think they're hearing God, but it's really the pastor planting this in their mind.
Right. That's it. All right. Let's see what else he's got to say.
What is the phrase of this year? So maybe here and how you handle finances and generosity and money here is more important to your purpose and your destiny than anything you're thinking about in the future. God's saying here is holy. Your debt here needs to be dealt with. Your mindset here needs to be eradicated. Your ability to give here needs to go up, because you'll never do it there if you don't commit to it here. Oh, my God, okay.
Now, does here mean in the church, or does here mean on this topic?
I was thinking the same thing. Where is here? Is it his church? Because at first it sounded like he's talking about eternity, where you only have this life to do certain things for the Lord, and then in the, you know, but not in eternity or something. But now it's sounding like he meet the here is actually his church and his giving it and putting it in his hand. Is that
right,
the here?
Because I'm confused, because he said, we're going to stay here on this topic. But then he's talking about putting the money here, and he's pointing to the church building. He's pointing
right
to the location. So I'm saying, I'm confused. I don't know where here is. I don't know what here he's referring to.
I would guess is here is the church building, namely his.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see if he develops that thought.
Write this in a point. Preparation releases provision. The only way God releases provision is if he sees preparation. But then watch the last part of this. Procrastination releases poverty. Well, I'm about to get in your business. Some of y'all have...
Doesn't the Bible essentially say mind your own business? I mean, that's what the Bible essentially says. Mind your own business.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Right. Why do I need
your
him
own...
to get into my business? I mean, you get enough of that from the government. Right? The government's
the
all
church,
in your business.
The church thinks that they should be next in line behind the government.
Yeah. Wow. He's going to get into our business? Well, why don't you let us peek into your business? If you want to get into my business,
that
I like
happening.
To get, yeah, I want to get into yours.
Been waiting to do what God already told you to do, and you're so arrogant to think that you have another week to do it. He told you to make the budget last year, and you literally are so arrogant that you are telling God, I got time to make the business plan. I got time to go to the bank and open up the account. God said, you don't know. Who said you got time? You don't know what I'm trying to do and how I'm trying to do it. And procrastination has led to so much poverty that the church is now needing organizations that don't even believe what they believe to give them a handout, because they will not obey in the seasons that God gives them wisdom of what to do and a word of knowledge. And now you've been put in a compromising position. Do you keep a standard or take the money? And I know of so many people, and I'm not just talking about churches, I'm talking about you. You are the church. Some of y'all have taken money that was dirty money. You knew that it was, I don't know if I can say it like this. You knew that the means that those resources came were not in a way that honored God. But because you looked at your bank account and you looked at what you needed and you didn't trust in what God was doing in your life, you trusted in a system that God uses to give us tools, you compromised your integrity for a little bit of cash. I'm praying for a church that raises up, that money can be thrown at your feet, and you still choose faith in God. For some of y'all, y'all are gone at $1,000. You'll slide down a pole. You'll give up your own kid. And I'm just telling the truth. And this is the truth. Everybody got a number. Charles, I don't know if I can be this real in this series. But some of y'all, for $15,000, would give up your Christianity. $100,000 would literally turn you out. You give up your family by making a wrong decision in a bedroom with somebody who offered you money for a cool $250,000. There is no amount of money in this world that is worth me losing my relationship with God. And this is where I'm submitting to you, that even as we're starting this series today, I want you to confront you. Ask yourself, how much money has become your God?
The guy is just a waste of time. He makes no sense. No sense.
I think that's a little bit of guilt mongering, because the hook will be the way you demonstrate you don't love money instead of God is by giving it away, giving it to him.
Yeah, but you see, again, the the problem is that he doesn't know how to, he's, in other words, he's a dim-witted wolf. He has yet to learn to craft. He can't craft, you know, if he was in the projects where I grew up and he came with that little story, they would tell him, go back and practice. Go back and
you
practice.
You have no, he has no game.
yeah, go back and practice. They would be laughing in his face. You don't even make sense. You sound retarded. Go back and fix this. You're not going to con anybody. Now, of course, we live in a different age where,
yeah,
you know, he's got all these people. Hey, man, oh, that's good. Oh, wow, that just blew my mind. Repeat that, Pastor. I need to write it down. Can you repeat that? I mean,
yeah,
there's nothing.
Yeah, I was just going to say the devil doesn't really have to pull out all the stops anymore and have someone smart and eloquent and educated up there, because the church has been sufficiently dumbed down to where a guy like Michael Todd can get over.
Right. Right. And he's, you know, he reminds me of one of the Wayans brothers. that's, you know, I was trying to figure out where have I seen him before? One of the younger ones.
Yeah.
There's one that's always smoking pot, or he's in a smoking pot scene.
yeah.
It's just bad. This is bad. I mean, this is really, really bad. But hey, people are showing up. Right?
Yes, they are.
People are showing up
in
great numbers.
And he can pack them out in some of these conferences, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. So, all right, let's see what else he's got to say. But I'm listening to him. I'm saying, boy, if you're trying to con people with this, you got to go back to the drawing board. You just got to – even Little Red Riding Hood – would say, no, that don't sound
well, see,
right.
See, it is wolf.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right.
Oh, I know it's strong. It's strong because at the end of the day, this is the stuff nobody talks to you about. Do you know how private we are about our money? Some husbands and wives don't eat. Y'all got secret accounts. Y'all got money stashed away in purses and bras. Y'all don't even let each other. Y'all know it's the truth. They're like, Y'all literally have all of these things set up because if something goes wrong and God doesn't answer, money will. And today I came to confront that thing.
In all the years of family counseling, there's different reasons why people have different accounts.
Yeah.
Right? For example, you can have different accounts because, one, the dad has to pay child support to another woman. So in his failure to pay child support in the past, now the judge has signed the warrant. They go right in and take the money out.
Right.
Right? So that's one reason. Another reason is that you've made an agreement with the IRS to take out money from your account. Right? I mean, there's all kinds of agreements. People have direct withdrawal with the light company, with the utilities, with the cable company. There's a lot of people that have direct withdrawal for their medical insurance, right? So that's
right.
Why couples have different accounts. Another reason why couples have different accounts is because in the beginning they agreed to put their money together, but the husband has a gambling problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have joint accounts because he'll squander your money on a bet. So you can go down the list as to why people, different people have different income. Some people are good with money. Some people are very bad with money.
Right.
Right? So there's lots of reasons why people have different accounts. Many, many reasons. And prenuptial agreements that people make when they get married, like somebody like Donald Trump or whatever, or other people that have money, they have separate accounts because, again, when that person dies, the attorneys come in and they divvy up what's in this account and which child gets this money and which child gets that property. And there's all different kinds of reasons, and that's not a bad thing. Don't put guilt on people because they have different. You see, the he's painting the brush too broadly.
Right.
Is what I'm trying
he's
to say.
He's not dealing with the nuances as to why people have these different things set up, and it could be legitimate reasons.
Correct. Absolutely. You know, you have a child that has a drug problem, right? You don't have a joint account with that child. I know some parents that had joint accounts, some parents who gave their child power of attorney and are broke.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See? So there's many different reasons, but don't condemn people for having different accounts because it's not – the government doesn't deem it, the IRS doesn't deem it illegal. He's making it sound like it's illegal or it should be illegal. It should be spiritually illegal. No, there's many different reasons. Many different reasons.
Right.
So.
In you. Because what God wants us to do is prepare to get a fresh revelation or a new truth in everything that God has given us around money. Somebody say more money. More problems. Somebody say it again. More money. More problems. Does anybody remember when that song came out? Diddy, Mace, Kelly Price. I was 11 years old when it came out. Faith Evans? Was it Faith Evans or Kelly Price? Faith Evans. Okay, all right. Faith, God bless you. 11 years old. 1997. I literally was changing to Channel 39. That was MTV when I was young, and Channel 40 was BET. And I only watched four channels when I was a kid. Disney, 32, Nickelodeon, 33. And then I just jumped to the extreme. 39 was MTV, and 40 was BET. And late nights, oh, God. I'm just telling on myself. Somebody can maybe relate. Y'all don't need an after dark. Y'all nasty. That was my life. And I saw Mace and Diddy in these, like, shiny suits. And they kept saying, the more money we come, the more problems. And Diddy was just, like, Diddy don't dance. He just Diddy. And I was watching this video, and from that point on, that mantra, more money, more problems, became something that was stuck in my head. And it began to give me a theology that was not based in the Word of God. A lot of the things that we believe don't come from scriptures. They come from moments in our lives where something seemed right and repetitive. And it then becomes something that we adopt as a truth. So I'm literally growing up and I'm thinking, more money, more problems. Then I go to college and start seeing how much it costs to go to a community college. And I was like, this is a problem. Which reinforced more money, more problem. I got into church and I saw people having to figure out how to teach people how to give and encourage them. And they're not going to give and this is that. And I saw, dang, more money, more problems. And then I became a pastor. And I had a decision to make. Was I going to take a concept that was given to me by culture and bring it into kingdom work? Or was I going to take it through the filter of the Word of God? And I searched the scriptures. Guess what I found out? More money, more problems, is not biblical. That literally is nowhere in the Bible. It was something I believed because it was something I confessed and I said and I saw other people say, and it became my gospel truth. Okay. Write this down because this will apply to you in any area of life. What is repeated and regurgitated becomes gospel to you, even if it's not the truth. What is repeated and regurgitated. There's stuff your family has ideas about that is the most backwards, broke-up ideas in history. But it's what you do and say now because it was repeated and regurgitated. Racism? This is how it happens. It's repeated and regurgitated, and it becomes your truth even though it's not the truth. When it comes to this thing about stewardship and generosity, God's saying stop believing that more money means more problems. Write it down like this. More money, more problems is the confession of, watch this, the poverty gospel. See, every...
What say you, Sister AJ?
Dum-de-dum-dum.
Yeah.
The people who said came up with the more money, more problems things were rich, and he said it's not in the Bible. Of course, it's not in those words, but more money, more problems can be a problem according to the scripture when it says, and he used this scripture or referred to it. I thought. Where he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So that's saying that the love of it can be a problem, so to speak, put it in his words.
Right.
Straying away from faith, and, you know, that's a problem, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, doesn't the Bible say, again, that those who pierce money, or rather those who pursue money, pierce themselves with many sorrows?
Yeah.
So the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing
mm-hmm.
into the world, and certainly we shall take nothing with us. Therefore, having food and raiment, let us be content therewith.
Right.
So this whole series that he's preaching on is just because.
And confusing. He says something and then he contradicts himself.
Right. Yeah, because the thing is, he wants more money. But you see,
right.
More money for him is not more problems. More money is more jackets. More sneakers.
More clothes, more cars,
right.
More houses, more money he can spread around to gain favor
mm-hmm.
with others and send up to the mothership where, you know,
correct.
To give the Macintosh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it all notice how slick he is. You can't have more money. Because more money for you would be more problems. But the church can have more money because there won't be any problems
mm-hmm.
for the church.
Right.
And who's the church?
Him.
He's the church.
Yeah, his church, Transformation Church. That's where you give it to. That's where you
right.
bring it. You can't handle it, but I can.
Right. So, no, it'll be more problems for you, but not more problems for me, because I'm the banker.
Right.
Watch this. You can see Eddie Long all over him. Eddie Long used to say, watch this. No, I ain't watching nothing. Yeah, you're not teaching me nothing.
Yeah, Eddie sure did say that a lot.
Right? And what are you watching? You're watching a fool. You're hearing a fool. Because what are you saying? You're not saying anything. Oh, this is revelation. Revelation to who? Nobody's paying you any mind. That's just what you're declaring there. You know, when he talks about provision, eliminate, or procrastination will kill your provision. All that's nonsense. Look, I know a lot of people right now. I know a lot of people right now that stay home and they're rich. You know how they're rich? Jennifer LeClaire's rich.
Yes,
she
is.
Rich? By scamming dummies. That's how they're rich.
That's right.
So, listen. The guy, you know, he's a young wolf. Obviously, is not good at what he does. But what keeps him in business is that he's got, like you said before, a whole generation of dumbed down people.
Yeah,
that's what he's got going for him. He's got a whole generation of them.
That's right.
If he didn't have those people, he'd be flipping burgers at Wendy's.
Yeah, exactly. He wouldn't be able to do this.
Mm-mm. No. No. And I'll tell you something. If someone gets there to where he's at, that's a little better at the game than he is, he's history.
Yeah.
He's because he doesn't have anything.
He'd be out of there. I don't know if you ever watched The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air back then, and sometimes Uncle Phil would take hold of Will's friend and just chuck him out the front door. That's what they would do to Michael Todd when somebody comes along.
Somebody better comes along, he'll be gone. Because, I mean, he's not saying anything. Watch this. Okay, I've been watching and you ain't saying
nothing.
Yeah.
Watch what?
Right. What do you want me to watch? You're not saying anything. You haven't said anything for an hour. And you're contradicting yourself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing.
That's what is making it hard to understand where he's coming from, and because he'll say something and contradict it, right? And sometimes the same sentence.
Same sentence. He'll go on and do what? Say something that goes against what he just previously said.
Yep.
So I wouldn't give him my money because I would raise my hand and simply say, okay, what software do you recommend? Because I need you to show me how do I pay my mortgage, my car note, my children's private school. And then they're going to say, but you're being selfish. No, I'm not being selfish because these are the things that God gave me.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to him, how do you pay your stuff? Show me how you do it so that I can emulate you. Show me how you do it. Show me how you get to keep your house when you don't make five mortgage payments in a row. Show me how you get to keep your house or how you get to keep your car if you don't pay. And it's not just the car note, it's the car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a magical software that you have? Show me how you do this thing you want us to do. Because
maybe it's God 3.0. That's the software.
It's just like spitting those clams on that guy's eyes.
Right,
This is just as a mess as that. It's a mess.
Yes.
It's a mess.
Mm.
Everybody always talks about the prosperity gospel and how it's bad and it's gotten a bad rap, and I'm going to talk about that because it is. But that's not the only wrong gospel we're suffering from.
Come on, that is good.
People are suffering, not from the prosperity gospel. They're suffering, dying, and raising kids in the poverty gospel. And today I need you to identify where you are. Everybody say here. God only can bless you from where you're at. So today I'm going to present a few options to you, and I need you to identify, am I here, am I here, or am I here? Because wherever you are, that's where we're praying God's going to transform you from. Transform you from. But if you do not identify, God will not take you or heal what you do not reveal. And there are tons of people under my voice right now that are suffering from the poverty gospel. You think more money, more problems. More money, more responsibility. More money, more taxes I got to pay. I want a tax return. No, you don't. Do you see how many people didn't even know that's right? A tax return means that you gave the government in the year more money than you were supposed to, and they giving you your money back. You loaned it to them for free. But if you need $1,000, they're going to charge you interest. We're so poverty-minded, though. We want $4,000 that tax return so we can turn up and get a TV. Put some more rims on the truck. Take a vacation. More money, more problems. That poverty gospel is fueled by dysfunction, and let me help you. It is motivated and fueled by, watch this word, fear.
Of course I'm motivated by fear. I have, right now in my driveway, I have a little truck that's parked. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it's parked is because I had an oil change done, and I had to fix the power steering fluid line. You know the power steering fluid, it has a little hose. So that power steering fluid line went bad. So I took it to the guy, and he fixed the, he put the new hose in, and then he did the oil change. And then he said to me, by the way, come here, let me show you, you need two new tires. And he showed me that the tires on the inside were showing the thread. And the car's been parked ever since. Now, why is that? Well, because I don't want to kill myself.
Yeah, it's unsafe.
It's unsafe. So it'll sit there until I come up with the money for the two tires. But you see, listen to this little piece here. Listen to this little piece.
Gospel. You think more money, more problems. More money, more responsibility. More money, more taxes I gotta pay. I want a tax return. No, you don't. Do you see how many people didn't even know that's right? A tax return means that you gave the government in the year more money than you were supposed to, and they giving you your money back. You loaned it to them for free. But if you need $1,000, they're going to charge you interest. We're so poverty-minded, though. We want $4,000 that tax return so we can turn up and get a TV. Put some more rims on the truck. Take a vacation. More money, more problems.
No, more money, I get two new tires.
That's right. And he's like, more money, more responsibilities, more tax. Well, then welcome to life.
I mean, that's adult living, right? I mean, that's adult living. I can't walk up to the squirrel that's eating me out of house and home and say, can you give me the money for the tires since you messed up a lot of the food I had up there? I spent more money on traps, glue sticks, hunting gear. you know, listen, this kid doesn't know what he's talking about. I didn't even want to stop him when he talked about the IRS because he doesn't even have a clue when it comes to that. I didn't even want to stop it then. But this thing about, you know, rims on the truck, yeah. Yeah. So that when I drive, I don't kill me and my kids. So that
That's
I don't
right.
kill the person coming on the other side of the road if I lose control of the truck. It's what you do. It's what responsible people do. You need, the Bible says, money answereth all things.
Right.
Right? Now, I know that money answereth all things. That said, I'm not going to go and rob a bank. I'm not gonna do armed robbery, or you know I'm not gonna go sell drugs to get the money for the two tires, or you know I'm gonna go scam a little old lady. No, I just have to wait for there to be some leftover in the budget. Then I'll go take and get the tires put on, and then I can enjoy my little truck, which is almost near perfect.
Right.
Because I got some things changed on it. I got it winterized. I didn't know I needed two tires. He says, look how dangerous this is. I said, well, I'll park it because I'm going to pay you today, and that's as much as I got. Oh, so it's been parked there. It's not more money, more problems. No, more money, you answer more problems.
Right. Those rappers, that song that he referred to, they may say more money, more problems because of the way that they live and what they do with the money. They're not smart when managing it.
Right. Or like the Bible says in Proverbs, money ill-gotten, right? For example, if I went into a bank and I did an armed robbery, let's just say, and I left with $10,000, well, that bank's got all the camera images, and automatically, since it's FDIC insured, right,
mm-hmm.
the FBI has to get involved. So
right.
Now, I just got $10,000 in a robbery, but guess what? More money, more problems, because the FBI is going to catch me.
Right.
They're going
right.
to catch me. They're going to catch me. Because today, no armed robberies today are successful. None.
Very
they catch
difficult.
You. They catch you. They catch you. Interesting story. I had a very good friend. He wasn't my best friend, but he was very, 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 very good friend. And he did 7 armed robberies. Right?
Mm-hmm.
7. Now, we're talking early 90s. He used to be a fundraising, a candy company fundraising salesman. His job was to go to all these different public schools and say, look, we have these variety of candies, and you can sell them for this much. And this will be your profit. So he would go to one public school and give them 100 cases of this, and the school would use it as a fundraiser, and then they would, you know, the candy company would get their money when the candies were sold. So he had like maybe 80 to 100 public schools that he would constantly go to and sell candy to because they were constantly doing fundraisers. Well,
mm-hmm.
somewhere along the line, he got into money problems, and he started to do armed robberies. This was a guy in church now, a guy in church. Okay.
Mm.
Well, the FBI arrested him, and he was convicted, and they sent him away for 20 years. When I went to go see him, he said, you know, that was my brother Pete. He says, Pete and I are almost identical, and I know his brother Pete, and they're worlds apart. They don't look anything alike.
Mm-hmm.
Not in size, not in height. You know. As soon as you walk into
right.
the door in the bank, they already have the measurements, right? They okay.
Yeah.
So That was my brother. And you know what? The same way Jesus laid down his life for me, I laid down my life for Peter. I said, listen, stop lying to me.
Please, no one's going to do that.
I said,
no.
There's no way you would have taken the rap for your brother, leaving your wife and your children behind. Own this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows you did it. Nobody believes your story. Just own it, right? You get money ill-gotten, it'll come back to haunt you.
It certainly will.
It will come. You're going to get it because God will make sure you get it. And that's the issue. See, it's what you do with your money. Again, God is not asking you or me or anybody to give away our money. God is not asking you to do any of that. In a sense that, what I mean by that is when the pastor comes up and says, and he reads Malachi 3 and says God wants to tithe, that's not God.
He's lying. Yeah.
He's lying, right? Now, that you want to participate in helping something or helping somebody, or you want to make sure that the heat stays on in your church during the winter time, that's a different story.
Right. You have the free will to do that.
Right. But as far as God, you hearing from God and God is sending you these messages and he's downloading these ideas into your head about doing this, no.
Mm-hmm.
That's not God.
It's funny how those messages always coincide with what the pastor just said.
Right. Let me take this call. I'm going to put the audio on.
Okay.
Hold on, please.
That poverty gospel is fueled by dysfunction, and let me help you. It is motivated and fueled by, watch this word, fear. When you live in the poverty gospel, it is motivated and fueled by, everybody say fear. What you mean? I can't get no more government assistance? If I actually get a job, then I have to report my income? And that means I'm not going to get this house for $300? You would rather, I'm in somebody's business. Y'all see how quiet it is right now? You would rather not have the freedom to live wherever you want, put your kids in whatever school district you want, be able to do and bless other people. You would rather have a $300 payment and brag about it. You know I only paid $300 and water and cable included. You know what that is? It's you. Sold your life out to the poverty gospel. You on 7 people's Netflix account? But when you start a business, you want somebody to support your business. But you reap what you sow. Uh-oh. And so you've been stealing because they a big company. Well, what happens when you become a big company? Do you want one of you as a customer? That is, somebody is convicted right now. Somebody's signing out right now. Like, oh my God, my great Uncle Bill. You know what that is? It's the poverty gospel. And that poverty gospel, put it on the screen, poverty gospel. It's got you so messed up. It's got you not believing God. It's got you looking at situations really thinking that more money means more problems. And it's rooted in the opposite of what God wants us to have. It's rooted in fear. I need a hookup on everything. I need a discount on everything. That's a poverty. I don't care what gas prices go to. God is the supplier of, I know everybody is tripping out right now. God promises it's $5. I'll always have enough money to be able to pay for gas because I am not rooted in a fear-based poverty mentality. Will you come into church? I can't go into church, girl. You know that mother go across town. I ain't got gas for all that. Yeah. yet you'll drive out of town for a concert that's going to lay you on your back with somebody. Uh-oh. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. The poverty gospel. Charles, come here. Stand right here. I want everybody to see this. Because what ends up happening with the poverty gospel, it's passed to you by your family. And they tell you to hold it. And some of you is like, no, I don't want to live in that. And they'd be like, no, boy, this is our family. And you'd be like, but I can't apply for the school even though we don't have the money. Who going to pay for it? Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, Dad, I think I can get a scholarship. Well, you better get a scholarship, a job. You better take care of everything else. And you better know. And you start holding these ideas and mindsets. And then because your earthly father told it to you, you think now your heavenly father is saying, struggle. You going to start that ministry? Well, God, I felt like you told me to start it. Yeah. So you got to earn your dues. Go through what I went through. Like, hold on. If your earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more does your father in heaven? But when we have built up the poverty gospel so much in our head, we willingly receive the struggle. Because we believe, watch this, it's what we deserve. So now, oh, but you know, because some people are sitting here all bougie and high sedity. I've never been on welfare. Nothing's ever been cut off. God is good to me. But the truth of the matter is, let me tell you what poverty gospel is. Not spending money on the counseling you need and buying a new Louis bag. That's poverty. That's poverty mentality. Because you would care what somebody thinks about you than actually being whole. Let me tell you something else that's poverty mentality. Never, ever being able to pay off your actual bills, but walking around stunning on people and judging them because they don't drive the car you drive.
See, what he's talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, AJ, he's just talking about making adult choices rather than teenage choices.
Right.
That's all that is. Adults.
And he's talking about wanting discounts and wondering about the gas prices. I mean, everybody is wondering. And this was in March of this year, by the way. Everybody's worried about those things, and discount, what's wrong with that, particularly when you're living on a budget, because he just talked about a budget, and your budget says probably better to go to the discount stores, Goodwill, different places where you can get a good deal.
Absolutely.
What's wrong with that?
Last week I went to a thrift store, right? A Salvation Army. And I went through the men's rack, and I found two beautiful sweaters. I mean, they were just beautiful. A gray one and a navy blue one. Thick, and it's the what they call the rope style, you know, where the pattern is like roped. Each one $7. I took them home. I put them in the washing machine at the lowest cycle, the sensitive
cycle,
the gentle. And then I put them on the clothes rack to dry. I didn't put them in the dryer because they would have shrunk. So I just put them on the clothes rack inside the kitchen, and I let them dry there normally. Well, I had one on Sunday. I had one on. I got two sweaters for $14. Are you kidding me? Why? Because, like I said, I got tires I gotta buy.
Right.
You're looking for ways to save. So,
especially when the economy is getting so right now, which he's talking at a time where gas prices were at all time highs in a lot of places.
Right. at when he was speaking, yeah, it was $5.
Easily.
Yeah. So this is a silly sermon. I guess he's talking to adults who have teenager minds. Because when you're an adult, you put you set your priorities.
Right. According to your household budget and what keeps things in order for your household, because God does expect us to do that, right, to take care of our responsibilities.
No, he expects you to take care of it.
Particularly the man, if it's a couple and children and stuff, right?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's see what else he's got to say. Because so far...
poverty. And there's a bunch of people holding on to the poverty gospel. And it's fueled by fear. You bootlegging everything.
Sister AJ... there are things in life that are induced by fear.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take for example Hurricane Ian.
Yeah.
The meteorologist says it's going to hit Florida. It's going to hit Fort Myers. So if you live in Fort Myers, what do? Do you go out
get
there?
Get provisions.
Right. You do what you got to do. The winters where I live are brutal. Brutal. You don't think I'm motivated by fear to have oil in that tank? Because if I don't have oil in the tank, the first thing that's going to burst are the pipes. The second thing that's going to happen is my kids are going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing that's going to happen is I'm going to hear it from the missus.
Exactly.
Right? So, listen, everything in life, you got to move. You know, the Bible says about, seed time and harvest. Well, when it's seed time, you better start sowing seeds because that's the time to do it. And then when it's harvest time, you better go get that harvest or the harvest will be lost.
Right.
You're motivated by seasons. You're motivated by needs. That's just,
That's right.
That's just the way life is. I don't know what he's saying. I honestly don't know what he's saying. Now, of course, guys like him and T.D. Jakes and Creflo Dollar and all the others, when you're sitting on top of the pyramid, you can talk stupid like that because your cash flow is never ending.
Right. You're living off other people. So he's teaching a poverty gospel in that if the people keep giving him their money, they're going to be broke.
That's what I get out of it.
That's right.
Right? So, if I'm listening to him right, I'm saying, oh, okay, I get it. He's trying to tell me not to give the church any money. Because the number one, think about this. If it's God's house, I cannot expect my neighbors to come and give me money for my house. I got to get the money for my house. So I would say to him, wait a minute, this is God's house. And if this is God's house, why doesn't God give the money for his house? Ah, because it's not, he's going to get all mad because it's not God's house. It's his personal ATM machine.
Right, because this $1 million that he gave away, I don't believe it was from his own personal money. I would be shocked if it was. Although some of them do that when it suits their purposes.
Well, it's like when Paula White says, I'm the biggest tither here. Well, of course, you put $1,000 in the kitty in the morning, and at night you're taking out $5,000 plus the jewelry.
Exactly.
So, yeah, sure you're going to be the biggest giver. Of course. But these people put it in. Listen, all these preachers put their offerings in cash because at the end of the night,
they're
going to
take it out in
the
cash.
There you go. They don't put in checks. They don't leave a paper trail. They put it in cash. And then the cash disappears. That's the little game that they play.
Then they take up another offering to pay the bill.
Y'all remember Napster and LimeWire and... Come on, some of y'all too young for that. Y'all remember when literally the CD would come out? He'd be like, I ain't paying for that. It took me 5 years to break poverty gospel off of my mind. And some of y'all are living better than you've ever lived, and you crawl up in the bed every night with a poverty mentality. You better shut that door. Let my air out this house. Your kids are literally scared of you. You're damaging them forever based on $17 of air. But where'd you get it from?
Yeah, come on.
It was said to you.
Yeah.
And you held on. I'm not talking about being frivolous.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, is it really worth damaging the relationship with your legacy over a couple of dollars?
Yeah, because all those dollars add up.
Yeah, especially if they keep doing it, you know.
Yeah.
And plus it makes your air conditioning unit have to work harder trying to keep the house cool because they're constantly opening the door and leaving it open.
Right.
So it'll be more than a few dollars.
Absolutely. Now,
especially if you have to repair your unit because of it just gave out.
Listen, in some places like Texas and Florida, that air conditioner better be working.
That's right. That's right.
It better. It just better.
You preached it now.
Yeah, because it's just like here for us, the furnace is the most important thing for us.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's it. But you can't teach your children to squander. Squandering
right.
is not stewardship.
Take things for granted. Yet you can't do that.
Right. And I'm not damaged goods. I would do something and my father would walk up to me and slap me upside the head and say, now, didn't I tell you to cut that out before? I'm not damaged goods. I told my kids a story one time. I said they were doing a study on satellites and they said, the first satellite in orbit was Sputnik. I said, no, that's not true. They said, no, that's what the books say. That no, I was the first satellite in orbit. The day I said to your grandmother I wasn't throwing out the garbage, I went into orbit. I was the first. Grandma did that to you? You're darn right. They didn't fool around.
Right.
No, my generation wasn't damaged. It's the snowflake generation now that you can't say anything to anybody because they'll be damaged. This is
right.
nonsense. This
That's
is,
right.
This is a nonsense sermon. But hey, it's important because now we know what the apostate church is going to come into. And why do I say that? Because you did a series on Joel Osteen's boy, and his whole thing was God was taking pictures of him and showing it to the angels.
Right.
And this is what's up and coming.
And Sarah Jakes,
and Sarah Jakes, right? With her dopey self thinking that she is the Messiah somehow, and that her daddy, mm-hmm. John the Baptist.
Right.
Right? This is insane. So we're almost out of time. Let's just give them a few more minutes here.
Okay.
Many of our actions have been fueled by the gospel of poverty. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I need you to identify, are you here? Because here,
now, AJ, did you ever watch the movie The Help? Did you ever watch that movie, The Help?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I love that movie. And one of the reasons why I love the movie is because it puts the church, the black church, in context back in the 50s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the movie, whenever you watch any movie that puts the black church in the 1950 period, you don't hear any of these stupid sermons.
No, you don't.
The sermons mattered, right? And those people who were purposely kept down, because they were purposely kept down, they were underpaid, overworked and underpaid, those people raised families. And the reason why they were able to raise families is because the church was not a ripping off center.
Right.
The church inspired oppressed people. It didn't join in the oppression. It didn't join, right, in taking their money. And the pastors did well. And if you notice, back in the 1950s, there was no mega churches. They were all small churches. And each church had their pastor, and each pastor led his flock, and the people made it through those horrible years. But
that's
today,
right.
Look at all the freedom we've gotten. We've got these clowns talking about money and Louis Vuitton and this and that and Gucci and all this other garbage he's been talking about.
And taking the money from the poor and the widows and feeding themselves, as the Bible says.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, great show. We're out of time. Again, Sister AJ, you may want to look that up about that 71-year-old lady who was ripped off
okay.
by her pastor. We'll come back next week. Now, we stopped it at the 40-minute mark. That's where we're at, 40-minute
okay.
mark. And you, my dear sister,
right.
have the last word.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for listening, and have a great rest of your day and week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.